Welcome to episode 15 of the Nurture Hub podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay. In this episode, this is part two of Rhianna and Darcy's amazing home birth story. And I hope you enjoyed episode 14, where Rhianna and Darcy shared their experiences for their first three births. So this is the most amazing birth story where during COVID, they decided to change to a home birth, and Rhianna didn't actually even believe she was in labor at one stage. And look, I will let them tell their story because they definitely go into depth on how they birthed their beautiful, healthy 10-pound, 11-ounce baby girl, Evie. Enjoy this story. Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents.
So how long did we wait till we got this beautiful little girl?
Well, we had decided. We originally planned, because we had a 3-year gap between Ollie and Henry, and there was a 1-year gap between Henry and Teddy. And I was like, oh, I like the 3-year gap, but Ollie's a little bit older now and doesn't really play with the others. But I don't like the 1-year gap because that's just full on. So like, we were like, oh, a 2-year gap would be good. So we started after Teddy turned one, we started trying. And that was probably like, late 2018, just after we got married in November. Pretty much after we got married, we started trying. And we tried for about 6 months and nothing really happened. And we had a few, personal things happen with Darcy's other children and things at life and stuff.
Because I have two children in a previous relationship as well.
So we ended up getting care of them full time, out of the blue, like literally overnight. So that basically stopped the trying thing. And the month after that happened, we actually fell pregnant and we weren't trying and we were trying to prevent it, and that didn't work. She was kind of planned, but then like unplanned. So like it actually worked out really well because she was born about 3 weeks after Teddy turned two, and we wanted the 2-year gap. And that's why we tried for 6 months before, because we're like, oh, it might take a little while. Like it'll be like an 18-month to 2-year gap. And then we ended up getting the perfect gap, which is really ironic because all four of them are born within 4 weeks of each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a little bit scary at first. Yeah. Cause like at first, because of like being told that we're most likely going to go early because of previous experiences and whatnot, she had the exact same due date as Teddy. So we were like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, one of our biggest fears in like having, when it came to the birthdays anyway, was them sharing a birthday. I was 2 days apart from my sister, and essentially we had to share birthdays and all that sort of thing growing up. I didn't really want that for our kids either, and I just wanted for them to be able to feel like their birthday was their birthday and that was special to them and whatnot, and it worked out really well. And
so it was pretty full on. So we didn't plan it, but ironically all four of them have all been conceived same time of year. So...
You contacted me pretty early.
I did.
I remember getting the message and you're like, this is what I want.
When can we
do private, one-on-one, can we get in?
Yeah.
And I think we started your classes, was around 25 weeks or so, was it?
But we booked in a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, we did. I think this time it was really revolutionary for us in a way of like, we had the bad experiences. And we'd finally, because we got the NIP test with her as well. So we found out from her really early on that it was going to be a girl. And because that's something that we'd tried for so long.
Well, originally we were like, oh yeah, we had the three. We were going to try one more time and hopefully we'd get a girl. And if we didn't, then we'd just be done and that would be it. And if we did, then great. So it took me a couple of weeks when we first fell pregnant to actually like, come to terms with being pregnant, because we had five children at home at that point, all under the age of six, and we were like, yeah, this isn't how we planned. We have to buy a new car, we have to like move house, we have to do this. So we were doing all of that. So I wasn't overly happy that we were pregnant, but at the same time,
Grand Carnival time.
Yeah. I'd been doing birth photography for like 18 months at that point, and I'd seen all these amazing births, and I was showing Darcy these videos that I was putting together, and I was like, I don't get it. Like, they're calm and they're happy and like they're having these beautiful experiences, and like, I wish we could have that. And
I wanted to feel more alert and aware. And
yeah,
like
I didn't care about the actual experience. I just wanted to feel like I was actually a part of it rather than it happening to me or...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty intense. So like pretty much as soon as I found out, we were doing extensive research on everything pregnancy related, everything birth related, looking into all our options. I decided from the get-go I didn't want... Because I'd been reading, I actually listened a lot of Rachel Reed's podcasts, and I'd seen a couple of her... articles that she'd written about induction and all these other things, and I wanted more information and other options for the unstable lie. I didn't feel like I'd been given enough information to
justify
an induction. Mm. So I was really just before I fell pregnant with her, and when I was doing birth photography, and when I fell pregnant, that was a lot of the time that I was like really looking into everything and questioning all of our experiences and everything I've witnessed and everything I've photographed and like piecing it all together and really realizing that was the point that I realized that the other experiences weren't normal. Like they weren't okay. Like they were actually traumatic and this was actually a bad experience. Whereas before that I was just like, oh yeah, you know, I went okay. Like
this
whenever anyone asks,
this is
just what happens. Mm-hmm. This is what every woman goes through. So I just have to suck it up and not really talk about it. And anytime anyone would ask, it would just be like, yeah, the baby's healthy and was 8 pounds 5 and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, you wouldn't actually say, I hated it and I don't want to go through that ever again. Like, it's just not something you talk about. So yeah, we really, really delved into all the research when we found out. So we decided... I downloaded all the hypnobirthing tracks about 6 or 7 weeks pregnant. I was listening to them all the time. About 9 weeks we booked in to get the NIPT test because I was like, no, I just need to know from the get-go if it's a boy or girl. I don't care if it's a boy or girl, but... I just need to know for my mental well-being, like from the get-go, 100% what it is, so I can start to film that like bond with her. Or
to avoid
him.
Happening what happened last time, because that was a huge...
So that was pretty full on. We found out the text, the result, test results around 10 weeks. And Darcy was at work and all the kids were at school and they called me and they were like, oh yeah, Brianna, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, congratulations, you're having a little girl. And I was like... what? And she's like, no, you're having a girl. And I was like, no, like you have someone else's results. And I literally reread my name back to her and my date of birth and everything. And she's like, yeah, and you live at 15 a zoo away. And I'm like, oh, and I was like, yeah. And she's like, no, you're definitely pregnant and has an XY chromosome. It's a girl. And I'm like, okay. Like got off the phone, like completely like cried and just lost it. And it was just insane. And like I really wanted to have this like big announcement and to all our family and friends and everything, but I didn't. I wanted it to be really special. And I told Darcy and I couldn't keep it to myself. I was like, I have to tell them straight away. So I went down to Amart and got a balloon with like, you know, the pink confetti and everything. And as soon as they got home, like we popped the balloon and
that was funny.
That was, it was amazing. Cause like, I think they knew before we popped because I was just like way too ecstatic. I was like, put the balloon, like here's a balloon. And he was like, okay, like whatever. And yeah, it popped out and it was a girl. So we were really excited about that.
Kids just chased the confetti all around the yard. They didn't really get it.
So like we looked into home birth and everything, early on, and we contacted a few people and I didn't really connect with anyone. And I found the price tag like quite extensive and, which I was happy to pack. I understood the value behind it, but with how we didn't know how the unstable lie thing was going to go. So I was like, I don't want to commit to this and then pay like $5,000 and then still go to hospital and have this horrible experience. Like if I was guaranteed, then it'd be fine, but we didn't know.
Not to mention that the hospitals at that time, because of COVID and everything,
that's
they
we
were cutting down.
Mind.
Yeah. We just, at first it was like you could only have the one support person and it was really important for us to have like that documented and have the birth photographer there. But at the same time it got to the point where some places weren't even letting like the partners in to the room anymore. And it was just, We didn't want any of that. So that was the original reason we started looking
at... I'm talking about right from the get-go.
Yeah.
When we were, 10 weeks, we were looking into it and everything, and then we decided against it because I was like, oh, the babies have had glucose issues, we've had unstable lives, they've needed resus, I'm worried something will go wrong,
yeah.
and then we so won't be at the hospital. Yeah. So I wanted one, and I was all for one, and, that was all great, but it was just more so, I felt guilty being just because I want a good experience doesn't mean I should jeopardize potentially something going wrong with the baby and us not getting the care that she needed. So we put it on the back burner and didn't go with it, and we just stayed with MGP. We didn't get Graham that time. We had another midwife, and she was horrible. We just didn't have a good experience with her. We ended up getting a new MGP midwife, and she was lovely and that was really supportive and great and everything, but obviously it was still confined by the system and was still very much you need an induction and you need to do this test and you need to do that test. And I was I don't feel I need any of this stuff. I had hypothyroidism with Teddy, underactive thyroid, and I was medicated, and I had the same thing with Evie, and they wanted continuous growth scans to make sure they were growing because it can cause babies to not grow correctly or be small, which is ironic. So we're having very regular growth scans, and I just didn't feel necessary. I felt she was a good weight and size, and every scan backed that up, and everything was healthy with us, and it just felt like overkill. We could see
the difference just by looking at you that she was growing.
Yeah. So we just started really questioning everything, and then March hit and all the COVID stuff happened. And I was just they were oh yeah, we really wanted the boys to, if they weren't going to be in the birth, then we wanted them to come straight afterwards and meet her and everything. And they were very, she was very black and white about that. She was like, yeah, no birth photographer, your kids can't come. We can probably have Darcy there. And I'm like, what do you mean probably have Darcy there? Darcy's going to be there.
Not to mention we've been...
So we'd done the hypnobirthing course with you, which was amazing. The whole pregnancy, I was listening to the tracks every day. I was going through your book every day. I was listening to Australian Birth Stories podcasts. I was listening to any podcast I could find with birth stories.
Extensive research.
Yeah, I started listening to the Free Birth Society podcast. I don't know if you guys have listened to that one. I wasn't exactly comfortable with free birthing, but I really liked the home birth part of it and how empowered the women were and in tune with themselves they were. So that was really helpful for me, reading their mindset. Yeah. So that we did all that. I just felt really, really prepared. And then I was not worried about absolutely anything. And then, COVID hit and they were like, you might not have Darcy there and you can't have your photographer. And I'm like, no, you don't understand how important it is for me to have those two things. So it was really funny because the birth didn't scare me. The after stuff didn't scare me. Complications didn't scare me. Nothing scared me. Just the idea of not getting it documented and Darcy not being there was deal breakers. And I was like, no, I can't do this. What we have to have a home birth. And we talked about it a lot. And he was like, whatever was going to make you comfortable. I support your decision 100%. It's great. And within a couple of days, I'd contacted multiple private midwives. We'd spoken to a couple of different people, inquired, and ended up finding a lovely lady who was really understanding. I was what, me and my husband aren't working right now because of COVID, but this is our situation. Had really bad past experiences, really want a home birth. I don't really want you to do anything. I want to do everything myself. I just basically need someone there in case something goes wrong. That's all I want. I don't actually want your help. I just need you to be there. Yeah. And she was great. So we booked in with her. We didn't technically transfer until I was about 35 weeks, which was pretty late for us because all of the kids have been born around 38. So we were in any day, she's going to be born. So that was a pretty hectic couple of weeks because she was like, here's a list of all the home birth items that you need. Here's a list of you got to sign this for my insurance and find deposits for this. So that was pretty chaotic, but we got that done quite quickly. I got really OCD about that. I went into overdrive mode and planned everything, and within about a week we had everything done. We had everything in the home birth box, we had it all set up, and it was just in this giant tub, and I was like, when the midwife comes, just give her this box, that's just it everything was 100% prepared. And I was 36-37 weeks, and I was like, yep, okay, any day now, she's gonna come any day now, because everyone's been saying yep, you've had early babies and this one's going to come early. And I'm like, yep. So every day we were just like, yep, she's going to come. And I had really bad SPD pain. And I was in bed for almost the entire last month of her pregnancy, just because I was in so much pain. I couldn't walk and everything was just really hard. So it was really glad that Darcy was home during that time and he helped watch the boys a lot. We did a lot of like the Rebozo techniques that you taught us to get her in a good position. We did a lot of the acupressure points. We didn't try and bring her on, but we did a lot of things to try and like prepare and assist, get our body ready and everything.
For her to just come when she was ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like really, we were in a really, really good mindset. Like I don't think we've ever been in a mindset like that. Like it was just really beautiful, like waiting for her to come and having the boys every day being like, is she coming today, mummy? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, she'll be here soon. And we kept telling all of them because Teddy's birthday was the 15th of May. And her due date was the 26th. So we were like, after Teddy's birthday, she's going to come. So we're like, we have mummy's birthday, then Henry's birthday, then Teddy's birthday. And then the baby's going to come. And they're all like, yeah, okay. So as soon as Teddy's birthday was done every day, it was like, is the baby coming? Is the baby coming? Is the baby coming? And I'm like, yep. So she ended up being born 41 plus one. So almost an entire month, we were just sitting there like every day being like, this is a twin. She might be coming today. Like,
and it was good though, like that we got to that point because we were adamant on having the induction this time around because we were going through the whole advocating for ourselves and all that sort of thing and having the knowledge and the research that we knew our options and we knew what we wanted to do. And every single time they'd told us we need to have an induction because it's dangerous. But once we actually did the research, like the risk factor in anything going wrong because of an unstable light is so minimal that we were like, you know what? There's no point. We have what we need. We know we're prepared and we're just happy for it to go how it goes and let it unfold by itself. And for that, it was a huge part of letting it go, letting her come when she was ready, but also having that natural home birth and not having any intervention or people sticking in their opinion or their say pressure. Pressure of what they want us to do or things that we, quotation, need to do. Because that's what they're being told by their superiors that they need to tell us we need to do. Yep. Even though there's no risks associated with it whatsoever, they just want their factory line moving faster, essentially.
I think that also comes, again, it's coming back to last week's podcast when Rachel was talking about the difference between a variation and a complication.
Yeah.
You know, that was a variation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a complication, but every other time your last two, they'd intervened for a in case of instead of a because of. But even the in case of, they were both head down.
Yeah.
And it was like, why is... And that's what I remember, you know, we discussed. And when I heard you were having a home birth, I was just quietly jumping. Because you were... you guys, honestly, I'm really like one of the most prepared couples I've ever, you know, supported and shared. And I'd share information, you're like, yep, we know that. And I was like, that's great, you know. So now, like, how did it all start? Like, let's talk about the actual birth itself. Like, at home, 41 plus one. How did it all
start? with a lot of denial. We hit 40 weeks. And I was like, yeah, like, I've never been this pregnant before. This is great. And then every day after that, I was like, yeah, okay. Like... you know, this is great. This is, yep, I'm not planning. That's the plan. The plan is to not plan. So this is going well. I think for almost a week, probably from like 40, from about 40 weeks, almost every night I was having false labor. And I was like, yep, okay. Knew it was false. It was fake, blah, blah, blah. Like
this is it.
No. Every afternoon about 4 or 5 o'clock, I'd start getting like, they were like Braxton Hicks, but they were like more intense. And like, I knew they were real because I had an irritable uterus with Teddy. So I was in and out of hospital, had experienced real contractions, but they weren't changing my cervix or anything. So I was getting those and I was like, these are real contractions. So I was really, really excited and it happened almost every night. And then around 10, 11 o'clock at night, they would just kind of stop. Like as soon as I was in bed getting ready, I was like, yeah, okay, great. So every night we're doing the same thing, like going on the yoga ball and like doing our tracks and having like our diffuser going with the clary sage, and I was having like nice showers
just
and
to help with that.
Yeah, we're doing the rebozo to help with my hip pain and to get her in a good position and everything. So it went on and on and on, and like I was like, yeah, this is going well, like, okay, great. And it would just die. And then we got to 41 plus one, and it was 41 exactly, Tuesday morning. And I just woke up that morning and I had like a lot more pain than usual. And I was like, I just don't feel good. And Darcy was like, yeah, you just take it really easy today. Like, we'll rest. And I'm like, I don't want to do anything today to try and bring her on. I just want to like just chill. So we did no diffusers, no ball, nothing. I pretty much just laid on the couch all day. And it got to about lunchtime and I started getting like the contractions I was getting with the false labor, but it started at lunch. And I was like, that's really weird, because like all week hasn't started till about 4 or 5 o'clock. I don't know why it's starting at lunchtime. And he's like, oh no, it's probably just the same thing, just getting closer and closer to it happening. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So we all went down for a nap. The boys went for a nap and I went down for a nap, and I don't usually nap during the day. Like, I can't nap, and I was just exhausted. And we went and laid down, and we were like 5 minutes into our show and I fell asleep. And then I didn't wake up again until about 4:30 in the afternoon. And I woke up and I was like, Darcy, I really don't feel good. And he's like, oh, well, just go rest. And I'm like, I am resting, but I just don't feel good. Like, I don't feel any better after my nap. Like, I'm still getting these pains. And he's like, oh, it's okay. Like, you know, so he put me back on the couch. I laid on the couch and the kids were all playing and doing their thing. And then he did the whole new night routine for me, fed them all dinner, got them all ready for bed, put them in bed. And then it took him about an hour to get Teddy to sleep, because he's gone through a phase. And I just remember sitting on the couch for that whole hour. He's like, oh, it won't be very long, you know, I'll be right back and we can go into the bedroom and I'll give you a massage and whatnot. So I didn't lay down. I just sat up on the couch because I was like, there's no point in me laying down, because it's so much of an effort for me to lay down and get up. So I'll just sit on the couch. And I was sitting on the couch and I started having some more, and I was like, oh, while I'm here, I might as well just time them. And I had quite a few that were like 7, 8 minutes apart. And I was like, oh, this is like promising. Like, this is good. And then I had one that was like 23 minutes apart. And I was like, no, it's fake again. It's going to stop again tonight. So I stopped timing them because I was like, no, this happens every night. It's going to stop. It's all good. So that went on for about an hour. Then he came out and I told him, I was like, I'm having them again. And he's like, oh, this could be it. And I'm like, no, this happened every night. This isn't it. And he's like, okay, all right, all good. Well, why don't we go have a shower and like, I'll rub your back. And I was like, yeah, okay. So we went into the bedroom and we ended up watching TV for a little while, didn't we? Am I talking too fast? Oh. Well, this is the exciting part. So we ended up going into the bedroom and we started watching, I can't remember what we were watching on Netflix, but we'll binge watching something on Netflix. So I was like sitting on my ball because like I just couldn't lay down anymore. I had to be like up, like I just had to be up. And I was bouncing on the ball watching TV and I was like, no, my back really hurts. Like, it's really hurting. He's like, do you want to do the rebozo again? And I was like, no, let's just go have a shower. So he ended up going in there and setting up all these candles for me and like putting the diffuser on. And I was like, come on, come up in the shower. So I got in the shower with him. And
it's really awkward that the one that night that I'd set all the candles up just so you could relax and everything. Yeah.
So it was really nice. So we just got in the shower, like neither of us thought anything was happening, and he was just like washing me and like rubbing my back, and we ended up probably being there for about 45 minutes. And it wasn't until I got out that I realized that like I was having like pretty consistent contractions the entire shower. Like, I wasn't like actively noticing them, but I was stopping to breathe through them, and like I was just like, oh, okay. Like I don't usually have to stop and breathe through them. Like, usually I can just keep talking while we're having them, and that's a bit strange. And so we got out and he's like, oh, this is probably real. And I'm like, no, it's not real. Like, don't be stupid. And so we went back to watching our shows, and I was like, tried to lay down, couldn't lay down, got back up, sat on the ball, just kept doing that. And that went on for about 2 hours.
I'm sitting here like, you're moving around way too much to be like not.
So it's like 9 o'clock at this point, and he's like lying in bed, like watching the shows, and I'm like pacing around our room, and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm still watching the shows. Like, we're still watching TV. Like, everything's fine. I just can't sit still. And I just kept going, and that was around 9 o'clock. And he's like, no, I seriously think something's happening. I'm like, it's nothing's happening. So that went on again. That went on for like another hour. And he's like, no, I really think we should call someone. And like, by around 9 o'clock, they're about 4 or 5 minutes apart.
Now we're getting pretty close.
Yeah. And then by 10, they were about 3 minutes apart. And I still was really calm and chill, and they weren't like, they were noticeable. And like, I was having to breathe and having to stop walking through them and everything. But like, I didn't feel pain. And
by this point, I'm like, something is happening. And she's like, no, it's not. It's fine. I was like, no, I want to call Deb and tell her something's happening. She lives in Brisbane.
Yeah.
She needs to be able to get down here if something's happening. And so then she's like, no, nothing's happening.
So we're still chilling and like we're waiting and everything. And then it hit, I think it was almost exactly like 10 o'clock. Yeah. And I leant over the like bathroom door and I had this really powerful surge. And I was just like, let out this really big noise. And he's like, what? And I was like, I think her head just engaged. Like I literally felt her move down like this weird sensation in my pelvis, and I was like, oh my god, like she moved. Like I felt her move. Like I didn't think I was going to be like that in tune with my body. And he's like, that's it, I'm calling Chloe and I'm calling Deb, like everyone needs to come. And I'm like, no, because it's not hurting, like I'm fine. I was like, doesn't mean that she's coming. And like I was just so calm through the contractions, wasn't I? Like I just couldn't, like they were 3 minutes apart, lasting like a minute. And I'm like, just walking around the room, like, I'm okay, everything's fine. And so like, he waited until I got the next contraction and then he called everyone. And he waited till it was done and he goes, I called everyone. I was like, why? And he's like, because you're in labor. I'm like, I'm not. I'm going to get in bed in a minute. I'm going to go to sleep and they're all going to stop. It's going to
stop by the morning anyway.
And he's like, no, seriously. I'm like, no, babe, you're not listening to me. Like, I know my body and I know this isn't real and this is what's happened every single night. And he's like, they've never been 3 minutes apart before. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not painful. They tell you when they get painful, that's when you're supposed to call people. And I'm like, I'm not in pain. Like, it's good. Fine. This is really normal. Good. And like, I was happy every time I got one. I was like, oh yay! Like, you know, she's getting a good position. I can feel her moving. And so he called everyone.
And then Deb, the midwife, calls back.
Calls back straight away, and she listens to us have a contraction, and she's like, I'm on my way.
She's talking for like 5 minutes. She has the space of the time. She's like, yeah, I'm leaving.
Yeah. She's like, I'll see you guys soon. I was like, no, seriously, please don't come yet. Like, I'd hate for you to drive all the way from Brisbane and it not be it. Like, it's not it. Like, please don't come. And she's like, yeah, okay, I won't. And then she came. So everyone got there. We called Chloe and Deb and everyone was there by 12. And at this point, they're still about 2-3 minutes apart and they're lasting about minute and a half. And I'm still in the bedroom. Like, it was really strange because he kept asking me, he's like, do you want your hypnobirthing tracks? And I'm like, no. Like, I just felt... Just
put some calm music on.
He put some, like, ambience, like, rainforest music on. And he's like, okay. But, like, I didn't feel like I needed them. Like, I felt like I listened to them that much that... Like, I remember telling you I was really worried that when it came to labor, I wasn't going to be able to turn everything off and, like, you know, like, block everything out. But it was like I was able to do that. And... Every time I'd get one.
Automatically.
I was just automatically doing it. I didn't even know I was doing it. Like, I was just in and out, like, in and out.
You'd start breathing and then
I'd just go into it. But, like, when I was actually listening, it was like I could hear them in my head. Yeah. Like, I didn't need them playing in the room. Like, I was that used to them that they were just cycling through. Like, whatever I needed at that time. Like, when I'd have a really powerful one, it would be like, it'd say a certain affirmation. And then I'd have another one and it would say another different affirmation. And, like, it was just really strange. Like, I didn't actually...
No, that's the conditioning, and that's you know, when it comes to, if you come and do a hypnobirthing course, it's the work that you do after the course with the practice, with listening to the tracks, practicing the breathing, practice, so that come your birthing day, it's not a conscious thought. It is you drop into that space and you do it so easily and so naturally, and that's exactly, that's exactly what, and I'm just sitting here when I just hearing you when you said like you felt her move, and it just took me back to my own birth because I remember having a surge like that and I was breathing and I was moving and I felt the drop and it was just like, and it wasn't painful or anything, but I came out and I was like, that was a good one. Was such a good one. And so I'm just totally reliving my own birth experience.
It was awesome. Like I just remember the entire pregnancy and even like just before labor started, I was like, I'm not going to be able to like block everything out. Like I'm very...
Started panicking a little bit, but it was like good in a sense.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the blocking out. Like
that's what I mean. Like you were panicking that you weren't going to be able to block everything out, but because you had done... like so much of like listening to the tracks and just practicing your breathing, just through even your normal breaths and hicks and stuff. It's just, you didn't even need to think about it.
Yeah. But like, even when I did think about it, I was like, I can't do that. But I was actually doing it already and I didn't know I was doing it. So it was really strange. So everyone came, it was about 12. They all came in to check on me and Deb was like, how are you going? And like, I was like, I felt her head engage and she's like, oh really? I was like, will you check me? And she checked my temp and my blood pressure and all the, you know, the usual checks that she has to do. And then she's like,
her tummy.
Yeah. Then like I laid down, she felt my tummy and she's like, yeah, she is engaged. She's like, I was right. Like I actually, I knew what that was. Like, I'm not crazy. And she's like, no, she's engaged and she's head down and she's really low. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. So then she pretty much just left me alone and went out to the thing. Oh, we missed the part where you screw everything up. When he called Deb, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm not coming, Rihanna. It's fine. And then she's like talking to Darcy and she's like, you need to go set up everything now. Like, go to the birth pool up, go set up. Because all the kids, we have like a big lounge room and we weren't able to set the pool up and everything beforehand. So I had this like little spot next to my bed with my diffuser and my oils and everything was right next to my bed. And every night I was practicing there. But I was like, oh, and I'm not going to birth there though or labor there. I'm going to labor in the lounge room. Like, we're going to set it up with all these pictures and I'm going to labor in the lounge room. But I labored the entire time in my bedroom. And so he's run out. Like, he's pretty much left me like whole hour while we're waiting for everyone to come. He's out in the lounge room and I'm in the bedroom by myself. And he keeps coming in every 5 minutes. He's like, are you okay? Do you need me? I'm like, I'm good. Everything's fine. I'm just walking around, like, playing asleep on my phone, like, just chill. And he's out there trying to set everything up. Like, he's like, oh, I'll take 10 minutes tops. Because like the entire time we're planning the birth, I was like, no, I need a list and you need to do this beforehand so that it doesn't take so long. He's like, oh, babe, it's only going to take me like 10 minutes. Like, it's fine.
It would have...
No,
I need to explain this.
No, it's fine.
Please. I pulled the pump for the pool out of the box and I'm like flustered because I'm like trying to get back to her and that sort of thing. And I go to start pumping it up and the pump, it's like battery but it's a rechargeable battery. And it went flat halfway through the first ring on the pool. And it's a brand new pump, like, and then I went to put it on charge, but of course it doesn't work while you're charging it. No. Like, you can't turn it on while it's charging. So I let it charge for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes while I started hanging up some like fairy lights and sticking some affirmation cards around and all that sort of thing. And I went to go do it again and it went flat, like, even quicker. So I sat there for about half an hour, like, manually blowing up this birth pool, and I got it up. I got there, but it took longer than expected. Everything else was ready. I had candles, I had fairy lights, I had affirmation cards, but that part of it just took so long. And Dev got there while I was like
still doing
that, and then I went to go start filling it up because I had to connect the hose to the inside tap with the connector. But I forgot to put the pool liner in first. So I filled it up about 5 centimeters in the bottom and realized that I didn't have the pool liner in. And then Dad was like, no, just put the pool liner in and keep filling it up. So, yeah, that happened. And
yeah, it went on for ages.
Yeah.
Like, it came in. It
was full on.
He came in, he was like, I'm to be right back. I'm just going to set everything. I was like, yeah, it's okay, babe. And he's like, I promise I won't be very long. I was like, hey, it's fine. He's like, do you need me? I'm like, no, I don't need you. I'm okay. And he's like, but you're close. I'm like, I'm not close. We're not in labor. There's no point setting the pool and everything up because no one's
still in denial. Yeah.
So I was. Yeah. So he went out, he came back about five minutes later and he goes, babe. And I'm like, what? And he's like, the fairy lights don't work. We bought like 4 packs of fairy lights and one of them didn't work. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. Just go back. Just keep going to set the rest up. And then he came back and he goes, babe. I'm like, what? And he's like, the pump's not working. I'm like, just go fix it. And he came back about another 10 minutes later and he's like, yeah, that's all good now. But now I can't get the tap to the hose to attach to the tap. And I'm like,
I was giving her updates. I was sorting it out. I got it. I figured it out.
But it was just really, really funny because the entire, like, the first couple, like, from, like, 37 weeks, we had all this stuff. And I was like, I think we should do a test run. Like, I think we should practice everything, see how long it takes to put the pool up, make sure the tap, like, connects properly, make sure that the lights, everything's work. We don't need to do all that crap, babe. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And, like, usually I would be, like, really stressed about that. Like, I'm a control freak. So I would have, like, just... not dealt with that, but I was like completely calm. I was like, yeah, okay, that's all right, just go fix it, it's fine, it's okay. And then by the time he came back, like, well, before he left, he put the TENS machine on me because I was getting a bit stronger and I was really having to like concentrate and everything.
We put them on even before you like called Deb, just because it was like, oh, you're getting these pains, maybe the TENS machine might help, let's try it out and all that sort of thing.
So we put it on and I was like, I didn't lie. I was like, no. Nah. I was like, no, this isn't great. He's like, just give it a chance. And after about 15 minutes, I was like, turn it up. This is great.
Yeah.
So that was good. So like he was out there doing that. So at least I had the TENS machine. So I just had like the ambience music on, the TENS machine. I was just like Facebooking. And then when I get contraction, I just like breathe through it and have the burst mode, and everything was great. And I didn't realize it'd been like an hour and a half. And so everyone started arriving and came checking me, and I'm like, I'm fine, everything's great, like it's fine. And they're like, okay. And the next night I hear this water running. I'm like, why is there water running? And they're like, we're setting up the birth pool. And I'm like, we don't need the birth pool. Like, we don't need it. And it was just insane. So Chloe was with me and she pretty much followed me around, and I was still in the bedroom and everyone's like, do you want to come out yet? I'm like, no. And I was just chilling there, and I didn't end up coming out until almost time to push. And another couple hours went by, and so Darcy came back after he'd set everything up, and he was trying to be really hands-on. He's like, oh, I can rub your back, I can do this, and blah.
She's like, no, don't touch me, just let me hold your hand when I'm having one.
Yeah, like, and I felt really bad afterwards, like, apologizing after a contraction, because I was like, I do really need you here, and I want you here, I'm okay, like, I didn't want him to touch my back, like, it felt weird with the TENS machine on, and all that type of stuff. So it was just like, he just sat next to me, like telling me how much he loved me and how well I was doing and reminding me to breathe. Cause a couple of them, when they got really bad, I started holding my breath, and he's like, no, you have to remember to breathe. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. So that was really, really helpful. But I was still really calm. Like there was never any, I still didn't think I was in labor. And I was just like, yeah, these really suck. Like these aren't great. Like these are really annoying. Please go away. I want to sleep now. And he was just like, looking at Deb, and Deb's looking at the photographer, and they're all looking at each other, and I'm like, what? Like,
and, this is funny.
And then had like this really powerful surge again.
Kneeling over the side of
no,
the
no, no, not that one. The one before that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I was standing up and everything was fine. I was like leaning over Darcy, and I had another one, and I felt her drop even further, and like it felt like she was about to come out. Like she just dropped so hard. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like she's dropped. And like Deb's coming in and she's like laughing at me. I was like, that's her moving, right? And she's like, yeah. And everyone, I was like, are you sure? And they're all like, look in the mirror. And like my stomach was like definitely like dropped, like lower. Like it was really low. And I was like, oh, like you can actually see it now. Like, okay, that's really weird.
Stomach had dropped.
And I'm like, Deb, how much longer is this going to go for? Like, when will it stop? And she's like, when you have the baby. And I'm like, I'm not... like still not thinking it, eh? No. And about 10 minutes later, she's like, she's laughing at us. She's like, okay. Well,
laughing at you. I was laughing at you too.
So she's laughing at me. And she's like, I'll just go wait in the lounge room then. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, guys. Like kept apologizing to them because I'm like, you know, it's going to stop. And because Chloe's from Brisbane too. So both of them had to drive from Brisbane. And I'm like, I'm going to feel so bad if this stops and it's not real and they've driven all this way. And then I'm like leaning over the
side of the bed. I'm like,
kept alternating between standing and kneeling, which is really weird because I thought I would want a bunch of different positions, but I didn't really.
Yeah.
And I was like leaning over the bed, and me and Chloe and Darcy were in there, and we were like, oh, laughing. It's like, oh, the beanie. Darcy wore this beanie with the other two births, and then he's like, oh, I need the birth beanie. And he's like, I'm like, she's like telling Chloe, and I'm getting annoyed at this point. I'm like, stop it. Like, you're being an idiot. Like, she's trying to photograph us. Just come over here and be cute. And he's gone over to the dresser and like got out this beanie and like showing Chloe this beanie, and she's all like, oh wow, they're taking pictures of him. And I'm like, I'm here.
Yeah, I came and knelt down next to you again.
So we're all like laughing, and she's talking about her kids, and we're talking about ours, and we're like, we're literally just laughing, aren't we, like having fun. And the midwives are all like in the lounge room, like, okay, like this, you know, it doesn't sound like anything's happening. And about a minute later, I'm like, oh yeah, another surge is coming. So they all stop talking, and like Darcy's like rubbing my arm. He's like, remember to breathe and everything's okay. And I'm like, yeah, I know everything's okay. And out of nowhere, like my water's just broke, and I felt her like completely like drop even further. And I'm like, my water's broke, my water's broke, my water's broke, I did it. And I'm like yelling, and Darcy's like, Deb, 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 and someone grab a towel, because I'm like leaning on like this pillow on my bedroom floor right next to my bed, and there's just water everywhere. And I'm like, sitting here like this biggest smile on my face, and he's just like, we need a towel, we need a towel, we need a towel. And he's going with a towel, and I'm just sitting here like smiling, and Chloe's actually like
panic so much.
No, you didn't panic, but like you were just like very
attentive.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And like Chloe's got this picture of me like just like smiling, like biggest smile on my face, my water's broke and everything. I'm like, it's real. And Deb's coming and is like, I told you it was real. I was like, I'm having a baby. And she's like, yeah, I know, you're in labor. I'm like, I'm in labor. And she's like, you're in labor. And they're all like, okay, come on, let's help you up. I'm like, help me up. And like they were all trying to walk me out to the lounge room. I'm like, where are we going? And they're like, you gotta get in the birth pool. I'm like, no, like people get in the birth pool when they're close to having their babies. And she's like, you're going to have your baby.
Yeah, this is like contractions are like that close together.
They're like 2 minutes apart, last like a minute and a half. So I'm only having like 20 seconds in between them. And they're like, quick, before the next one comes, you have to walk out to the lounge room. I'm like, but I'm not getting in the pool yet. I'm not having a baby yet. And they're like, no, like this next contraction, you're going to feel it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we get out there and like I'm leaning over the pool and they're like, okay, you got to take your machine off. I'm like, what? And they're like, you got to take your TENS machine off. And I'm like, no. No. Like, it's like all hit me at once that this is real and it's happening and my waters are broken and I'm like walking out the lounge room and there's like all water following us and they're all like, you need to take your TENS machine away. And I'm like, I don't want to take my TENS machine away. And they're like, once you take it away, you can get in the pool. And I'm like, okay. So like they've taken it off and I'm like, oh God, like this isn't great.
It's not
like
good.
So I'm like trying to get in the pool and they help me in and my next surge comes and it's completely different. Like not, I wouldn't say painful at that point, but it was so much more intense. And I was like, oh yeah, it's just because the TENS machine's gone. But then I'm sitting like after I've had the baby and I'm thinking it all through my head. I'm like, no, my water's broke. She dropped a lot more. I was in the pool. Like that's why it was different. It wasn't because my machine was gone. And that first one after getting in the pool, like it took me a good 2 or 3 surges to actually like cope again, because like they were, it was such a different sensation that I was like, I wasn't used to it. I wasn't able to breathe through it as much as I was. And so I ended up getting like on all fours, like right in the middle of the pool. And I didn't want to be on all fours because everyone with my first day with Ollie, like it was really traumatic. So I was like, I wanted to avoid all fours, but like, I just felt like I couldn't move. Like I was just like, I had to be in that position for some reason. And like, I wanted Darcy in the pool, but he's obviously quite a big guy. And I'm like, get in the pool with me, babe, get in the pool. And he's like, I'm trying. And I'm like in the middle of the pool, like taking up the entire room. And he's trying to like climb in. And then he's like moving the water. Like it was like moving. And I'm like yelling at him. And I'm like,
stop making the water move. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
I was like, it's moving too much. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And he's like, I can't stop the water. And so I as soon as I got in the pool, like I feel like I switched into this different mode. Like I closed my eyes were closed pretty much the entire time. Like I don't remember seeing very much, but all the feelings were very vivid, and all the everything I was hearing and feeling and hear, like, yeah, smelling, everything.
I almost
was,
lost my leg. Yeah, I was
it just
on
became
it.
It just became like a lot different. Like I came into myself a lot more. Like I wasn't aware of who was around me or what was going on. Yeah. Like it was just what I was feeling, what my body was going through. And like the surges completely changed. Like they almost instantly, as soon as I got in the pool, like I started being like the bearing down ones. And I was like, oh, okay. Like this is different. And it took me a little while to like come to that. So like, I couldn't talk to anyone. I couldn't really communicate or anything. It was very much like, I have to be quiet right now and concentrate and get into a different sort of mindset. So I was on my all fours for a while. My water's only, like, from when my waters broke to when she was born was only about, what, 45 minutes? 45. So I only had, like, half an hour to actually comprehend, like, I was actually in labor and the baby was coming and, like, this was real. Like, it all just felt like a really big dream.
You just wouldn't.
Yeah, well, my waters broke about 2:50. So, like, everyone got there around 12. I only comprehended I was in labor around 2:50, and then we had her at 3:35. So it was really fast, like it was all a big blur. So I was on my hands and knees and the surges were coming and I just remember to keep breathing, and Darcy was like, it's okay, you're okay. And was like, you were doing a lot of pressure back then, weren't you, like touching my back?
Yeah,
and
pressure points and stuff.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of that, but a lot of that I don't remember because I was
really let me do the soft touch because she was like, no, stuff that, like, don't touch me right now.
No, it was distracting. Like it wasn't it was taking me out of, like, it was making me be in their world rather than being in the world that like I was in. It was, yeah, I don't know. It was just too much. I couldn't. It was like overstimulating me.
I'm trying to like be as still as I can, but also like,
yeah,
yeah, not make too many movements.
So all the boys were in their beds at this point. They're all still sleeping. So the plan was my mum was supposed to come over and pick them up when I went into labor, and then bring them back straight away. Cause I cried a lot and screamed a lot with my other birth. So I was like, I don't want to scare them, but I really want them there straight afterwards. So she came over at like 12 cause she works nights at Woolworths. So she finished work and came over and was like, oh yeah, I'll take them. But when she came, I was really calm and chill. And I was like, oh no, like there's no point. The baby's probably not even coming yet. Just go have a sleep. And you know, we're going to be here for a while. So I was assuming that if it was real, that they weren't going to, the baby wasn't going to come till like, you know, 9, 10 o'clock the next day. So I was like, oh no, you know, they can be here and they can have breakfast and get ready for school. And then you can take them to school. And so I didn't think about her taking them yet. So she fell asleep on the couch and everyone was sleeping and I'm in the pool. And like, I remember being vocal, but it wasn't like in like a painful way. It was more so like making noises helped me get through it. I just felt like I had something had to escape, like there was too much inside of me and it had to get out somehow before I could move on to that next point. And I remember like breathing down and like everything, and everyone was behind me and they had like torches and they were like, oh, we can see you, like you're doing really well. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, yeah, you know, you don't have a feel, like see if you can feel it. But I kept waiting until the surge was done, because then I was not concentrating on that, and then I tried to feel, and every time that would happen she was going back in,
retracting.
Yeah. And so that happened about 4 or 5 times, and then after that it happened again. And everyone was like, she's right there, Rihanna, she's right there. And I'm like,
she's coming,
I ended up swearing at them. And I was
she isn't.
Like, stop lying to me. She's not coming out. And they're all like, she's coming out. And I'm like, no, she's not. And like, it was just really strange, because like, I could hear myself saying all these things and like, and whatnot. But in my head, I was really calm and like relaxed. And I didn't feel scared or like upset or anything. I didn't cry. Like, It was really surreal. And like, I remember telling them, like, I was like, oh, it really hurts, I want you to make it stop. But it really wasn't. Like, it just...
It's like she would do that, and then like it'd stop and she'd be like, I'm fine.
Yeah. But like, it was really strange, because I was like, why am I saying these things? Like, and I think looking back, it was just because like, I couldn't find how to describe how I was feeling. So it was just like, this is too much, make it stop. And like, that's how I was trying to communicate to them.
So bearing down,
yeah,
you vocalized,
yeah,
because we've seen some amazing photos that your birth photographer Chloe took, and yeah, you just were like,
yeah,
in your zone. You did. You looked amazing.
It was pretty. It was strange. So we did like another couple surges like that, and I was like, no, this isn't working. Like I can tell she's just going back. She's not making any progress. And it ended up rolling back onto my back and like leaning against the birth pool. And like Darcy was sitting on the little seat and in between my legs and everything. And everyone was like, you're okay, everything's fine. Like, you just take some deep breaths. And it was a big gap, wasn't there? Like from when I was on my all fours to when I laid back, like in between contractions. Like it was like almost like a lull.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't like very big. It was probably like only like 5 minutes, but it was longer than what I had previously. And I just remember sitting there like really breathing and really like talking to myself and being like, everything's okay, like this is all right, like. And I could feel her moving, like she was like kicking me or something, but I just felt like these movements, and I was like, yep, she's right there, I'm right here, like we're safe. And I opened my eyes for like a couple seconds, and I just remember seeing like all the fairy lights hanging up and all the affirmations. And I looked around the room, and like both our midwives were there, Darcy was there, my photographer. Mum was up at this point because I'd woken the kids up accidentally. And she was there, and I just remember being like, I'm loved and supported and everything's okay. And no one touched me. Like, Deb wasn't touching me. Yeah, like, everyone was hands off. No one was coming into the pool. Like, I just felt like really okay with my space. Yeah. And I was like, no, like, we're going to get her out now. Like, she's coming. And like, I felt it, like it built really, really slow, that surge, but like, it was really, really intense. And so I could feel it, but it was almost like I'd had enough time to like talk to myself while it was building. And like, she started to like crown, and I remember like a lot of what you said about the breathing down and like letting her calm and everything. I was trying really, really hard to do that. And then she went back up again, and I was like, no, this doesn't feel right. Like, I feel like I need to do something. Like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. Like, that position felt better, but I felt like the breathing alone wasn't enough to help her. So like, on the next one that I got, it built really, really slow again. But when it peaked, it got really, really intense. And I was like, I'm just going to push really, really slightly. And I started to, and I was doing really well.
Yeah, and breathing down, but also like...
Like push, yeah, slightly pushing. Yeah,
really lightly.
Like not like straining myself like I was with the others. Like, I remember the others, I was like really, really trying to get them out. But like her, I was just like, I could tell she was doing it, and I just wanted to like help her. And she started crowning and everything. And I remember my midwife looking over and being like, just remember to breathe. Like, you know, don't go too fast because you'll hurt yourself. And then that kind of put me off. Like, I remember being like, oh, like maybe I was pushing too hard. Like, was I pushing too hard, or was I going too fast? Like, I backed off because I thought she thought that I was going too hard. So as soon as I backed off, obviously she went back in, and I was like, she went back in, and I was like, oh God, like I would have had her that time if I hadn't got distracted. So I was like, you know what? Like, screw it. I'm just going to do it all at the next one. And I did, like, she started crying again, it built again. I pushed and pushed, and I remember, like, thinking, like, you know, just once I get the head out, everything else will just be easy. Like, I just got to get the head out, just got to get the head out. And I kept breathing, and they told me to put my hand down, and I was like, okay, that really, really helped me, because I could, like, feel her coming out. And I was like, had my hand there, and I remember feeling, like, her whole head, and I'm like, okay, her whole head's there, like, why isn't this, like, the contractions kept coming, like, it wasn't done yet. I'm like, why isn't she out, why isn't this done? And she just kept coming, like, she had a huge head. It was like 38 centimeters.
39.
So, no, she was 59 long and 38 head. And her head just kept coming. It just felt like I was crowning for, like, forever. And, like, that was probably the only part of the whole experience that I, like, was upset. Like, not upset, but that I hurt, like.
Why is she not? Yeah.
No, like, the pain, like, while she was crowning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I kept going, and they were like, okay, you take another breath. I'm like, no, if I breathe again, she's going to go back in. So I just kept pushing, and her head came out, and I felt it, like, you know, pop, the little pop, and she came, and Dust is like, she has hair. And I'm like, she has hair. And everyone's like, I don't think she cares. I'm like, no, I care. Like, she has hair. And so she sat there for a minute and everything, and another break came, and I'm like sitting here, like, panting and, like, freaking out. Like, well, not, wasn't freaking out, but I was like, oh my God, like, I just did that. Like, her head's out. Like, oh my God, I'm gonna have a baby in a second. Like, this freaking is great. Out in a
good way.
Yeah, like, and
so you had another gap between.
Yeah, yeah, another gap. Yeah,
where so they do a turn. Turned,
yeah. Yeah, I could physically.
Weird.
You could feel
it was intense. Like, I could feel her shoulders moving. I remember yelling at Darcy, and I was like, don't touch her, because, like, he had his hands there to try and catch her. And I was like, she's not coming out yet. Don't touch her.
I'm not touching her.
And he's like, I'm not. And I was like, oh, because I thought he was, like, trying to get her out. And I was like, leave her alone. And I'd literally, like, I've looked down. I could, like, see her, like, turning, and, like, I felt her shoulders, like, against my pelt. It was just the most, like,
my hands were, like, that far away from her head. I wasn't even touching
her. Yeah, like, I just get goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, I just feeling her shoulders come out. That was, like, insane. So she rotated, and then after she rotated, another contraction came, and I had to push, and I remember them being like, oh, you know, this is the easy part. Once you get the head out, it's easy, blah, blah, blah. And no, like, no. that's what that picture was taken, the one that Chloe has. I remember, like, very, very loudly making noises. But it was, like, in a good way. It was like, I could tell she was, like, coming, and it really, really hurt, but it was so close, and I wasn't going to, like, let it go again. Like, I had to just go with it.
I feel like you caught your breath a lot there then, because you kind of, it was weird. Like, she sort of went back into it in the sense that, like, when she came out, she didn't even open her eyes straight away. Like,
yeah, I was that, like, into it in this other world thing that it did. That's why I said to Dust, I said, the only regret I have is not having my eyes open when she came out, because when I opened my eyes, she was, like, in front of me. And I'm like, I wished I'd seen that part. Like, I don't remember him picking her up and passing her to me. She was just there.
I got to catch her.
And it's like, it took me that long to, like, mentally, I was in that world, and, like, it just overtook me. Like, I was so calm and, like, relaxed and everything in my head, but, like, my body was doing something else. It was like we were together, but, like, separate things. So it was just really crazy. And then by the time, like, I came back, it's literally like, you know, when you go underwater and you come back up and you start to hear everything again, and, like, when you're under, it's all, like, really foggy. It was literally like that. Like, I don't remember hearing anything or seeing anything or, like, anything during that time besides her coming out. And then as I opened my eyes, everything really slowly came back. And when she came out, she hadn't breathed yet, and she was purple, and she had her eyes open. She was okay. Everything was fine.
Had a really short cord.
Yeah, but my midwife was like, Rhianna, you need to
stimulate.
Yeah, I was trying to grab her and bring her and up. I was
trying to pull her back down.
So you could unwrap the cord, but, like, I couldn't hear it. Like, I was still in that little world, and I was just trying to grab her, and everyone was like, you need to wait a second. And I'm like, slowly I could hear it. I'm like, oh, okay. And, like, and I eventually heard it, but, like, it was like, it was just so surreal. I wasn't even in there. It was just me and her. Like, there was nothing else. And I was that in that moment that I couldn't hear anyone telling me to stop. So eventually I heard it, and they unwrapped her and everything passed into me, and she was purple, and they were like, oh, you need to blow on her and stimulate her. And that was probably the only part that I started to feel a little bit anxious, because a lot of the births I'd been to, when that happens, they take the baby from the mum. Mm-hmm. So I was like, please don't take her. And I was like blowing on her face and just kept going, like just really, really blowing. And she wasn't breathing, but like she was sitting on my chest and I was holding her under her arms and she was just staring at me and like she was blinking and awake and everything was fine. She was alert and I was just like blowing on her face and we were just staring at each other. And in that moment, I thought no one else existed. We were just like there together and it was just so amazing. And then they were like, oh, you know, she has to breathe. And our midwife was right there and kept checking her pulse. And she was like, kept telling the other midwife, I know she's got a good pulse. She's okay. She just hasn't taken that breath yet. It took her about, what, 4 or 5 minutes?
She was still getting plenty of air through the placenta.
So just for our listeners, like once your baby is born, the placenta still provides oxygen through to your baby. So that's...
I'm really grateful.
I'm really grateful that we had a midwife that was okay with that. Like a lot of experiences that I've seen and had with our own children, like they just disconnect them from the placenta straight away and like start recess and blah blah blah. So like she was really good in the sense that she trusted me and trusted the baby, and like she saw that we were connecting and like everything was okay, and that she just stayed close by to make sure that she was, you know, her pulse and everything was fine and her coloring. But she came good really quickly. She pinked up really good. She took a first breath, and it let her in my chest. And that was when we like properly cuddled and like, I lost it and started crying. And I was like, oh my God, like we actually did that. And it was really funny because I remember you doing it in your classes, you're like the whole pregnancy, like you need to visualize your birth and what you want it to look like and blah, blah, blah. And from the get go, like before we even had the hospital birth, I literally pictured us being in the pool and us like cuddling and looking down at this baby. And like, I knew from the get-go that we weren't going to have that because we were having a hospital birth, but I still had that picture and it was really strange because that's exactly like what I saw was exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a minute to like really take it in and be like, no, this is real. This isn't what I'm imagining. Like, cause I'd had dreams about it while I was pregnant and I was like, no, this is a real experience. This isn't one of my, in my head. So then as soon as she was out and we cuddled for a minute and I calmed down, I nodded to the midwife and I was like, can you go get the boys, please? And I could hear them and Teddy was crying in the bedroom. I was quite loud, so they were upset and they thought I was... And they came out and they were just like over the moon. Like Ollie had tears in his eyes. Like his eyes were like watering and he was like, are you okay, Mum? And like was rubbing my arm and came and saw the baby and he was just like, I love you. And I was like, I love you too. And he was like, she's beautiful. And Teddy, our youngest, the 2-year-old, he just like, we thought he was going to be like crazy with the baby. Like we thought he wasn't going to like her, but he was like screeching. Like he was trying to touch her and he couldn't get close enough. And he's like, my baby. And kept trying to grab at her. And Henry's standing there like looking a bit odd. And we're like, what's wrong, buddy? And he says, you woke me up.
You woke me up.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like he's your sister. And he's like looking at her and he's looking at us. And he's like, you woke me up. And we're just like, okay. And so Chloe photographed that and that was
realize, like when she came out, did you all have a moment of being like, wow, she's a big girl.
They did. Like everyone else did. Like I remember everyone being like, whoa. And I'm like, what? But because like she was so close to my face and I was breathing on her, I only saw her cheeks. So I was like, oh, you're chubby. But like I hadn't seen her whole body. And then I was cuddling her, but because her short core was so short, like she was like really down here. And so I didn't really comprehend how big she was. And the entire time everyone was like, oh, she's so big, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And we didn't weigh her for like almost 2 hours. But it wasn't until they actually took her off my chest and went to go weigh her and picked her up and showed me like how big she was that I was like, that came out of me. Like, that's my baby. Like,
11 ounces.
Yeah. Like,
so what's that in kilos?
That's 4.7.
She was 4.86.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kilos. So that was insane.
The measurements.
And do you mind if I ask, like, did you tear? Did you have any?
No. Was pretty big. So the kids saw us. And then after a couple of minutes, Mum took them back to the bedroom because I was like, the midwife was like, the pool's getting quite red. Like, we need to get you out. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's all right. So they got me out and they checked me and it ended up bleeding quite a bit more than they wanted me to. So I consented to the injection, which was really great because we ended up having a physiological third stage. I birthed the placenta without the needle. So I was really happy because I never had that before. So technically we still had everything we wanted. They just used it as medication to stop my bleeding.
Right.
So that was really...
bring on the placenta.
Yeah. So she waited. She was like, yeah, we'll birth the placenta, then I'll give it to you. And you still have all of that for yourself. So that was great. So the placenta came out. That was huge as well. I don't know if you've seen the picture of that, but that was massive.
Her next to the placenta.
Yeah. And then once they got the bleeding and everything under control, they were like, oh, yeah, we have to, like, check you and see if you need anything. And I for sure thought I was going to, because, like, her shoulders coming out was just, like, insane. Like, yeah. I never felt anything like that before. I was like, no, like, I was prepared. I was like, yeah, no, it's okay. You do whatever you have to do. Just fix it. like, I was actually worried we're going to have to go to the hospital to get, like, I thought it was going to be that bad. They couldn't repair it at home. I thought they were going to transfer us. And she checked and she's like, yeah, no tearing. I was like, oh, okay, well, grazing then. And she's like, no, nothing. We had no tearing, no grazing,
wow.
Nothing. She's like, oh, you just have a bit of, you're just bleeding a lot more than, a little bit more than me would like. And I was like, oh, okay, like, that's fine though, right? And when we discussed all the options at our home, like the home birth meeting and everything, we'd gone through all of that because, like, a big fear of mine was I was comfortable with the fact of transferring while I was in labor to the hospital, but a bigger fear of mine was having to transfer after. Like, I was like, I don't want to go through this beautiful experience and then at the end be transferred and be stuck in hospital for 3 days. Like, I would rather, if I'm going to go during the labor and have her there and then come home. Like, that would have, I would have coped better mentally with that. I don't know why, but that's just how I felt. So yeah. I was really worried about that. And they were like, no, everything's fine. So she got the bleeding under control. She gave me the, not the normal one. Like, there's two versions. Like, there's the one that brings the placenta and there's like a bigger one, a stronger version or something. She had to give me that one. So that was okay. That was the only thing that wasn't a part of our plan, but I was okay with that. I was like, I don't care, give me that injection, that's fine. And they stabbed me and I just stayed there, like, laying on, or they transferred me to the mattress, like, because of the bleeding. So I had to get out of the pool quite quickly because they were worried about that. Had the injection and then basically just laid there for like an hour while cuddling her while they all went up and cleaned up and did everything. And I'm just laying here like, and I'm holding her and staring at her and I'm like, yeah, I know that's my baby, but like, where's my baby? Like it was just so surreal. And Darcy was sitting next to me and yeah, we were just like, what do we do? And they're just like, just have skin to skin. And I'm like, but like, don't you have to like take her, or like, do I have to do something, or like, what? She's like, no, just lay there and just lay there. And I'm like, okay.
Relax.
Like, I just couldn't. Aww. Yeah.
That's a healing birth.
Yeah, it was awesome. And they cleaned everything up and they came back, and after they were done, they're like, yeah, we'll just weigh her. And I'm like, yep. Yeah. And they had one of those, hanging scales,
fish scales.
Yeah. And they were all like, oh, let's take bets. And they're all going off about it. I'm like, she's chubby, but she's not that big. Like, come on. Like, I'm really little. I can't possibly have like a huge. And they're like, one of them was like, oh, 5 kilos. I'm like, 5 kilos. Like, as if she's 5 kilos. And they weighed her. And then I remember that both her and Darth, because like they were doing it in front of me, but like I was laying down and they were like facing the other way, so I couldn't see what it was. And they're all three of them, like the two midwives and Darcy and the photographer, are just standing there like just staring at the scales. And I'm like, what? And they're like, that's not right, is it? And like they did it again, and like they came up and Darcy's like, oh shit. And I'm like, and they were like, yeah, she's 4.86. and I'm like, kilos? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, so they were all just like sitting there like, oh my God, like even the midwives were like, she just did that with no tearing, no great, like nothing. Like, yeah, you had a bleed, but obviously like that's normal with how massive like she was, but it was just so strained. Like, it was just weird. Like all the growth scans we had, oh, she's going to be little and you have to be induced, all these problems you're going to have. And
no drug, nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like I actually declined once we turned to private midwifery care. We declined all our other testing, so we didn't end up getting the GTT test. We didn't get the last two growth scans that they wanted. I was like, I'm not doing it. Like, everything's fine. Like,
doesn't matter if she's big. Doesn't matter any of that. Just
yeah. So we didn't do any of that. So it was a really big surprise to do it, because the whole time they were like, oh, like you're little and you're iron deficient and this and this and this, and your baby's going to have all these problems. And like, she was massive and completely healthy and everything was like great. And like
chubby, healthy, happy baby.
And she didn't engage until I was in labor. Like, whereas the entire time with the others, they were like, oh no, your baby has to engage by 37 weeks. And because it hasn't, we have to induce you because it's unstable lie and blah, blah. And I'm like, she did it like a couple hours before she was born, like it was just insane.
Wow. Pretty much shared like 4 stories there, but wow, what a difference it makes by the sounds of it, was, you know, the education, the preparation, the support.
Yeah. Yes.
And, oh, congratulations. Like, honestly, she's asleep here now, but she's just...
gorgeous.
Such a gorgeous little thing.
She's been in and out of it.
Yeah, no. Then, you know what? Both of you, thank you for coming and, like, sharing your stories. You know, I think it was important to share those first.
Yeah.
Three births as well. You know, you're going to speak to so many women, like, you know, young mums who are having pressure of induction,
yeah.
You know, who's maybe thinking about, you know, epidural and, you know, the risks that are involved in that. And I think, again, if anyone's listening to this, if you haven't listened to the interview with Rachel Reed, go back and listen, because everything that you have said, she mentioned, didn't she?
Absolutely.
She said, you know, with spontaneous labour, there is, like, the body gives you breaks and there's a gap so that then allows the baby to do rotations and turns, and it, you just all explain that. You know, that you had, you instinctively felt you needed to move, so you moved. But then with that movement, you had that break.
Yeah.
And with that break, it gave her the opportunity to rotate, and you felt that. Whereas, you know, obviously... and once again, we're advocating for the fact that there's always a time and place for medical intervention, but with induced labour, it's different.
It is a different experience, isn't it?
I just mean, like, even when we were doing the course with you, and, like, I remember you saying, like, there was women, like, you know, they don't feel pain during labour and blah, 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 blah. Like, I was really excited to do the course and everything, but in the back of my head, I'd kind of come to the assumption, like, I was like, no, it's going to be painful. I just want tools to learn how to deal with the pain.
Mm.
Whereas I never actually...
perspective and...
Yeah, but, like, I never thought I wouldn't have a pain-free labour. Like, I felt probably pain towards the end when I was, like, pushing her out and everything. But the actual labour itself was actually quite enjoyable. And I didn't think that I could actually accomplish that. I was sort of, like, still a bit hesitant. Like, even all the education I'd done, all the courses I did with you, everything, I still in the back of my head was like... yeah, that's all good and well, but I know I'm going to have pain. Like, the last three births, I was crying, I was screaming, everything was just, it's too much. Like, it was just a completely different experience. Like, and that's why it took me so long to actually acknowledge I was in labor, because it didn't hurt. Like, I was just like, no, this can't be labor, because every other birth I've had, I would be in excruciating pain hours before the babies were born. So, like, I'm not close to meeting her. I'm not having a baby because I'm not hurting. And it was just so strange. Like, I was accepting of the fact that, yeah, okay, I'm going to deal with the pain better, but I'd never actually thought about the fact that I might not even experience the pain. Like,
that's amazing.
That was crazy to me, the fact that it could be like that. Like, and then the fact that, like, it was a home birth. I was like, if I was going to have a pain-free labour, it would be in hospital with an epidural. Like, I didn't think at home
you could
I would do that. And, like, I've had so many of my, like, people on Facebook and stuff messaging me being like, oh, like, you know, what pain medication is available to you during a home birth? And I'm like, I've had four births now and my home birth was the least painful. Like, and I had nothing.
And there
I
was
had
no pain medication.
There was no gas, like, no pethidine, you know, no epidural. There was nothing. Like, all I had was my TENS machine and my breathing and the different, like, positions and movements we're getting in. But I just, it blew my mind because I didn't even believe it.
That's
until
the hormones. That's...
And what I love the most, and it's really, really resonated for me, is that you said, I need to do something else for my body to get through this next transition.
Yeah.
And you actually had that intuitive feeling because of all this knowledge that you built. To be able to work with your body, you were getting out of your own way so that you could allow yourself to birth the way you needed.
It was crazy. Like, we actually, we pinpointed, well, both of us were like, yeah, we're going through transition now. Like, and with all my other transitions, I got really nauseous and panicked and scared and freaked out.
And I was like,
But the only thing we experienced this time was, like, I felt it in myself and I started shaking a little bit. They were the only two things that we had that actually pinpointed transition. Whereas, like, I was like, I'm really worried about feeling nauseous. I don't want to throw up, blah, blah, blah. But we didn't go through any of that this time. Like, it was just like, I feel like the baby's coming. I need to move this way. And that was basically it. Like, that was transition. It was just really strange.
And the fact that you did that, you know, the hard yards, they call them, from when you're dilating, you did that with thinking that you weren't even in labor. And that's the part in induction that is the hardest part.
Yeah.
From my own experience, induction is the hardest bit.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting the breaks.
Yeah.
You're not working. Your body's going through it,
yeah.
you know, because it has to. And, I love the journey. The journey's been so magical to listen to. Such a healing birth.
It just felt completely different. Like, they didn't... like what really pointed out to me, Shari, at the beginning when I first started getting the surges was when you were describing to us with the, you know, the pulling up sensation, that the pushing down with like the muscles, mm-hmm. like the first couple hours I was really visualizing that, and that really, really helped. But it wasn't even like a painful thing. It was just like, oh wow, like this feels with my inductions, even Ollie's birth, like it felt like sharp stabbing pain and I was being ripped apart and like everything was just horrible. And these contractions felt like I could tell, like what you were saying about how they feel powerful and they were changing things. Like I physically felt like my body was, it was making me go in different positions and I was feeling different sensations. And like, I was acknowledging when she was moving down and like what the actual surge felt like. It was like rising and then it would go down. And like, I could tell, I could just see it in my head how it was playing out. And like, it didn't feel like, I didn't see it as like a painful thing anymore. It was just like
the perception had changed.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know if it's because, like, I think I didn't experience the pain because my perception changed.
Yes.
Where I don't think it's because I just didn't have a painful labor. Like, I think I just actually was thinking about it and feeling completely different about this experience, and that's why I wasn't experiencing the pain.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just insane.
You weren't thinking of it as an, oh, my God, this hurts anymore. It was like, oh, this is what's happening. Yeah. This is, like my baby moving this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were excited every time we got one, like, it was like really calm breathing, but like it just felt like this like pressure, and like the pressure would build and then the pressure would fade. And like that did get more intense towards the end and her coming out hurt, but the actual like a whole experience was like great. It was just insane. I can't even.
It's like you were aware of like what your body and the baby were doing at the same time.
Yeah, I really felt like we were connected. Worked together. Yeah, like, and it would change each surge. Like one surge, I'd be like, I need to stand, and the next one would be like, no, I need to squat now. And then like, it was just crazy. I didn't think I would know because you were like, oh, you know, do different positions, and I was like, I'm going to have a checklist and I'm going to try this position, this position. But it didn't. Like, it was just like somehow I just started doing these different positions.
Wow. And I think the most amazing thing is, imagine if you'd birthed. You've gone through the normal system for this baby.
Yeah.
And they've done the scans, they've looked at your history.
We literally talked about that the next day after she was born. Our midwife came out and I was like, thank you so much. Like, we would not have had what we did. Even being MGP in birth centre, the second they saw how big she was or, you know, anything, we would not have been birthed naturally. They would have wanted a C-section. They would have tried to induce us. Like, they would have wanted to induce her early. They wouldn't have let her go to 41 weeks. Like, it just would have been a completely different experience. So,
and we felt like we could do it this time. So it was like,
yeah,
there was no need for it. And
but we weren't even preparing for a 10-pound baby. You know, we were just like, like, you know,
we knew we could do it regardless of what came to us. And it was just,
that's what I mean. Like, that didn't even come into our head. Like the size of her or complicate, like none of that came. It was just like, this is what we have to do right now. This is what feels right, blah, blah, blah. And then she just came out and everything was fine. And it's like, I feel like if we had known from the get-go, oh, it's just going to be 10 pounds, blah, 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 it would have been like, you know, oh, I'm scared or this is going to hurt you know, like that would have been in our mind. So I'm really glad. Yeah. I'm really glad that we didn't get those last scans or the extra stuff. Like,
definitely.
The last 6 weeks of the pregnancy were just amazing. Like, we were taking herbal supplements and drinking like teas and going for walks and like relaxing, and everything was just completely, I think that helped a lot. Like,
stress free. Yeah,
it was great.
Thank you.
Wow. Mm. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think we're going to have to split this up into two episodes, but we really do appreciate it. And she's just perfect. And do you know what? Like, we can birth bigger babies.
We can.
You know, we just need to trust ourselves and find caregivers who will also trust in us. And you know,
well, that's it. Like, I'm like 5'4" and I'm like 60 kilos when I'm not pregnant. Like, I'm tiny. Everyone was just like, that came out of you. Even my dad was like looking at us like, that's not natural. Like,
well, it was natural. So thank you guys. We so appreciate you sharing. You're going to inspire so many couples.
We hope this episode has helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you can subscribe and leave a review and help us to spread the word of positive pregnancy and birth.
We would like to personally invite you to join our Nurture Hub online community, where you can connect with other women and be mentored by us one-on-one in one of our future episodes. It's so important to feel connected and nurtured through this time, and we would love to support you.
Thanks for listening.